Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts AK Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology folks who share their experiences, tips, and tricks to help you take your business to the next level. Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC. To learn more about their unique services, including but not limited to speaking, consulting, and training, visit AK Stout and DebEvansConsulting.com.
He has such a nice radio voice. This is Deb Evans and AK Stout coming to you live for Social Geek Radio tonight. How are you, AK?
Good. I still don't get used to, like, hearing my own name. I'm sitting here listening. I'm like, oh, that's me.
Yeah. And we have to meet that guy in IRL one day. He introduces us every week.
Oh, yeah. I guess he's someone Skylar knows, right?
I don't know. I don't know who it is. So I see our chat room is filling up. Everybody is so anxious to learn about all the secrets that you have for us. But what have you been doing the last 2 weeks? Because it's been a while since we've connected here.
What have I been doing? I took a Google Analytics class, so that's why I'm all geared up to talk about it tonight. Let's see. Have we had the show since I was in Denver? I don't know that we have.
Oh. You know, we get a little rusty when we miss a show or two, but I do not think, no, we have not.
Oh, yeah, so I went out to Denver and visited my brother, and I did a training in Colorado Springs for a couple that I'm there, talking to them about Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and all that fun stuff. And I got to meet Greg Goodson of Rapid in real life. That was fun.
I saw that picture. I was so jealous.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. Got some Raffle Copter t-shirts, got to meet the office dog.
I saw that too. And what is the office dog's name?
Oh, God, you're going to put me on the spot now.
Sorry. Now, it would only be really, really bad if I knew what the name was. So.
Yeah, I know if he gets with the test, they're going to kill me. Sorry.
I was going to say, if he's listening, he should tweet it to us really quick.
Yeah. It's going to hit me as soon as the show's over, I'm sure. This week I've just been busy, client meetings and things along those lines. So.
Well, two geeky girls, I've seen you guys everywhere. I mean, you're doing walks and runs. And so I did follow you the other day Runtastic or whatever it was. What's it called, the app?
It's called Runtastic.
Yes. And I thought, oh, my God, I didn't know what was happening because it said cheer for her and hit cheer. So I did. And then I'm thinking, oh, AK's running, and I can see this little blurb, you know, going around the map. And so what happens on your end when I hit cheer? Do you hear something?
I see it afterwards.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I think if I paid for the pro version, which I'm going to do because it's a really awesome app for anybody who runs, Runtastic, I highly recommend. I think if I do pay for the pro version, that I would be able to hear it, which I think would be kind of cool. The only thing is I only turn that tracking part of it on when I'm doing, like, organized races. I wouldn't do it just so people could, like, track me through my neighborhood because I think that's kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll let people track me when I'm with hundreds of other people out on a race course. So.
Well, it was really, I mean, because it just happened that I logged in and I saw that you were doing it, so I opened it up on the computer. But it really was on my, this was the one time I really felt I was there with you virtually.
Yeah.
Because I knew you were going to do the run. You know, I got all the notices, and it's like, yay, AK's doing the run. And but to open it up and watch that little dot move, it's like, oh, look, she's going up a hill and, oh, around the curve. And I thought the only thing was missing was, like, you know, if you were wearing a headset that filmed it and, you know.
You could see, like, street view,
Yeah, I could really see it. So, but I really did think when, you know, it said hit cheer, I thought, I'm going to scare the crap out of her. It's going to, you know, she's wearing a headset and it's going to go, yay, like you do in Google Hangout when you use, you know, one of the speakers or something.
Yeah, I mean, it might. I don't know. It might have an operator, like, translate what it says or what have you. I think that would be cool. But that's, you know, that's super motivating. You're on a race and you're like, Beth Evans has cheers for you. And you're like, oh, I'm going to
Well, and it's all that, you know, friendly competition, too, which we were doing earlier tonight when I did my charity miles walk. You know, I was getting ready to go walk. One, I tell you what, we both love charity miles, but to know that I didn't take my walk today and waffling, oh, am I going to go walk? Am I not? I've got to do this show here soon. And then, you know, yours will pop up, or then a friend of mine, David Rhodes, pops up and says, okay, he walked 3.1 miles. It's like, oh, you know what, I got to go. And I need to do a few more feet than he does.
Yeah.
So it's that friendly competition that is all good for charities, for us, for our health. And I did. I actually got home and said, oh, I didn't go far enough. I had to go back out and go down the road a little bit and come back again. And I did it.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing about all these, like, sharing apps, especially if they pertain to fitness, is I read a post the other day, something about there's a correlation between posting about exercising and running and doing all of these things through these different apps and the amount of weight you lose. And what they were saying with the study was that if you are out there posting that you're doing these things, and probably to your point, that people who are doing these things are actually losing more weight than people who aren't because of that kind of camaraderie online and that friendly competition. So I thought that was neat.
Yeah, I think it's very cool. But good. So we've got our health fitness apps going. You've got all kinds of different things rolling along when you're doing your runs and your walks. So you're actually really running now, correct?
I am running now, yes. And I have to give a shout out to my sponsor because I'm doing 10 or 11 races that since I decided to start to run about, I think it was March 7th. I was like, you know what, I'm going to go running. And then I'm like, you know how influential or how like, you know, April 7th. It was just a month ago, you know. So now I'm like, okay, now I'm going to be a runner. And then I decided that I couldn't just run around my neighborhood. I had to enter all these races. So I went to look for a sponsor to help kind of offset some of the cost of the race entry fees. And there's a company called Today's Miles. And they're at todaysmiles_com on Twitter, todaysmiles.com. And really all they do is they sell these race shirts or these T-shirts that say todaysmiles.com and the number of miles that you're doing. So you can do it for training. And I found it super motivating because I'm like, okay, well, the lowest mileage one I have is 3.1 miles. So if I want to wear my shirt, I have to go out and run 3.1 miles. They've been super, super nice and super supportive, and they're covering all of my race fees for the races that I picked for the entire year. So they're really great. So everybody should check them out.
Oh, fun. Yeah, I saw the shirt. Very good. And you're going to do a run where a color run, so that shirt will not stay white for very long.
Yes, that's true. On May 11th is the color run in Baltimore where they, I think it's like powdered color that they spray you with. Various domes that you run through, so you have to start with a white shirt. So they said, what color shirt do you want? I said, I definitely need a white one for the color run, so it'll be multicolored when I'm done.
Okay, well, heads up. I mean, my daughter's done those. It is a powder. It's mixed with cornstarch, and if you're sweating at all, it really gets gooey. It will, your hair will be colored for a little while, a couple of days. Yeah, it takes, it could be, wear a hat. That's right, cause it takes,
I didn't even think about that. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then, too, because you can't get the color out, and this is probably more information than everybody needs to know, but if you lay on your sofa or your pillowcases, the color will come off a little bit. I mean, it will eventually wash out, but it's just something to know.
Yeah. You know what? If I do this on May 11th, my hair could still be multicolored for Frank Camp.
For Frank Camp. That's okay. So, yeah, perfect timing. You know, talk about Frank Camp. So we're going to do a Charity Miles walk in Atlanta, and we are on teams, so the Charity Miles app now allows you to join the team. Now, it's in beta, so you really have to contact Charity Miles if you want to form a team. We did form a team on any lab test now. There's no spacing, just any lab test now. I love anybody that's listening, and they've got the app, they use Charity Miles, and it is on the iPhone right now for this beta test, is to go to the profile, click on your profile, click on Teams, and join the Analytics Now team so that we can beta test it and see how we're doing. But that will be Monday, May 13th in Atlanta. Anybody in the listening area for Atlanta, meet us at the Lowe's Hotel in the lobby at 5:30. Clarissa Bradstock, who's the CEO of Analytics Now, has scoped out a little bit of a walk for us. We'll do three miles, but we have to be back to the hotel for the tweet up by 7:30.
Okay.
So.
Well, yeah, we're going to have a blast, and we'll be live tweeting. We'll be live tweeting and live blogging. And oh, should we tell everybody about the Hangout that we're doing next week?
Certainly.
Yeah, so next Wednesday afternoon. Are we doing this live or streaming it through YouTube, or are we just going to record it and play it later?
All of the above.
Okay, well, everything I just said. Deb and I are going to do a Google Hangout so we can talk about how people can follow us and tweet and all of that stuff during FranCamp. So the hashtag is just hashtag FranCamp, FranCamp. So everybody that's attending will be able to use it. Everybody that can't join us in person will be able to follow along and look at tweet and use Instagram. And going along the Instagram line, they have a Geek It Out that ties both of these together. So nobody leaves. You have to wait till the last 2 minutes to hear that part. But yes, so we're going to talk about how we're going to be geeky and all that fun stuff at FranCamp.
Very good. So I guess I'm breaking up a lot, so this show is going to be all about AK again. And go ahead, and why don't you start sharing all your Google tips with us?
Okay, so what I'd really like to talk about is sort of how social media, how you can track your efforts on social media channels as they pertain to driving traffic back to your website. And we're going to do that through Google Analytics. So because we're not doing this setup where you can see my screen, I'd encourage you, if you have Google Analytics hooked up to a website that you monitor, you're the admin of, you can go ahead and open that up, and hopefully I can describe to you what I'm talking about, and you can kind of poke around in yours. So while you are doing that, just a brief FYI about Google Analytics for those who may not be familiar with it, because actually, you know, I've been using it for so long, and it's a Google tool, and it's a free tool for really measuring everything that's going on with your website. It doesn't occur to me that people don't know about it. And I do so many trainings, and even if I'm, you know, just doing a regular social media training, Google Analytics comes up because it's a huge part of, you know, making sure everything's kind of copacetic with how things are revolving back to your website. And, you know, people are like, I don't know what that is. And, you know, there are other web analytics tools out there, but I haven't tried them, so I can't really sit here and say that Google is the best one. But Google is free, so I know that's the big draw for most people. And really, you just go to google.com/analytics, and it'll walk you through the field to set up an account and to put the URL in of your website or your website address, and it'll give you essentially a snippet of tracking code. And then it'll even tell you where that code needs to go on your website. I think the new code can go in the header of your site. It's supposed to be a faster code, which means that it loads as soon as somebody hits your page. I think the older code, you had to put it up at the bottom of your page, and if people didn't stay on your site long enough, it wasn't tracking them. So you may want to look into that. For everybody who has not, who added their Google Analytics tracking code a long time ago, you might want to do some of that research to see if you need to upgrade to the new version of the code just so that it's tracking better on your website. So we're kind of going to jump ahead now to some of the reports and things that are available to you once you have this all set up. And you only need to put the code in there in that one spot, and it should track all of the pages on your website. And there is a little caveat to it. It's not tracking absolutely everything. For the most part, it's doing sort of a sample size and then kind of stretching it out across what it would foresee as what your traffic would be. but also because of the way that Google has structured it so that people can disable cookies or disable tracking of their browsers, there's a lot now that's not tracked that used to be tracked. One of the biggest pains in the butt, in my opinion, is that it used to track where, so, and I'll, this is one of the sections that we're going to talk about, but if somebody goes to Google and they type in, Facebook marketing, and I would want them to land on my thing at social sites, I would be able to go to my Google Analytics and I would say, yeah, I could see if people typed, what people were typing into the search to get to my site. But if people are disabling that from their browsers, then when I look at the top of that list of analytics, it's a big lump that says not set. And it'll tell me that there's X number of people who have come to my site from an organic Google search, but it's not letting me see what those keywords are. It's just lumping all of those into a big group. So it would be awesome to know what they are. But just the way that Google's configuring it out, you can't. But as I'm sure you can imagine, if you are paying Google enough money through Google AdWords to advertise with them, then they do let you see all of that information. So, anywho, enough about that. Everybody who hopefully is going to play along has their analytics open right now. So I'm going to talk through six kind of main points here within our Google Analytics. So what we're going to start with first is looking at referred sites. And all that means is where people started from, where they were before they got to our website. So that's nice to know. It's nice to know how are people getting to your website, where are they originating from. So if you go into the traffic sources section, you use the left-hand side of your navigation in your Google Analytics, traffic sources, and you go to referrals. So you click on down through there. It's going to give you a list of those sites. It's under the traffic sources and then sources and then referrals. So if you take a look at that, it'll tell you your number one source, your number two source, your number three source, etc. Which is really interesting information. And I can tell you right now I'm looking at someone for Two Geeky Girls. Our number one driver of traffic to our site is Pinterest, followed by Twitter, followed by Facebook, followed by mobile Facebook. So let's say we decided that we were just going to start this blog and not use social media. We wouldn't have anybody coming to our website. You know, but that's interesting to know. Is everybody... Right. Listening to this and looking at that, figure out what your analytics look like if you did take away your social. Or maybe you're looking at this list and you're not seeing social at all. And you're like, okay, well, that's a missed opportunity. That just might mean that you're not pushing enough links out there back to your site, or that maybe the call to action when you do post isn't strong enough to get people to click. Maybe your content just isn't interesting enough. So if you aren't getting traffic to your website, social sources, that's, you have to sit down and figure out why that is.
Well, look, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
That is, if you can hear me, if I don't break up. So Pinterest for you guys, for Two Geeky Girls, I can see why Pinterest would be a driving force, because a lot of what you're doing is product reviews.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that makes sense, correct? I mean...
Yeah,
you're posting that on Pinterest, okay.
Exactly, yeah. So we do, our product reviews, posts about running, we do fit into that demographic that's on Pinterest,
mm-hmm.
or if they're repinnable. But we're also doing things that make our images and our picture, our content, our pins, repinnable. So we're putting,
mm-hmm.
we're using something like PicMonkey that we talked about in a previous show.
Yeah.
Like a call to action overlay over the images, or a little bit of branding on there. So it's not just the image alone that has to get somebody to click on it or repin it. You get that text overlay on there to really jump out and grab somebody's attention and let them know what that pin is about, instead of having to rely on them reading that teeny tiny little text description that lives underneath of it.
Makes sense. Okay.
So something else you can do with this list that you're looking at of your referrals is maybe you're getting a lot of referrals from another blog, or you're getting a lot of referrals from, you know, one particular website, a directory listing website. You may want to consider putting more content where that site is. So maybe you were getting a lot of traffic from the lifehacker.com website because they posted an article about you. So obviously their audience is really interested in what you have to offer on your website. So you may want to send them a gift basket or get on their radar again and say, hey, we really appreciate that coverage. What can we do? Maybe we can do some sort of ongoing series with you because your audience seems to really dig us and that drove a lot of traffic. So, you know, strategically pick, you know, five or so of that, you know, your top referrers and see if you can get more content on those sites or form a stronger relationship with whomever is managing those sites to help drive more traffic back to your website. All right, so that was number one. Number two is taking a look at what I was alluding to earlier with figuring out your organic searches. So, again, what people are typing into Google, Bing, Yahoo, et cetera, and then landing on your website. So you do that also in the traffic sources section. So you're going to go traffic sources, and then you're going to click on search as a subsection there, and you're going to click on organic. So now you're going to get a list of keywords. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say your number one probably says not provided, and that's going to be your giant lump of things that aren't being tracked. Again, unfortunate. So you're going to start with number two, and you're looking at what are people typing into the search engines to find you. So you can do a couple of different things with that information. So you can use these keywords to get ideas of what you might want to write about and what's working and areas of where you might want to add more content. If you see words on there that aren't aligned with your website and things that you don't offer, you may want to figure out why that is and maybe change some tags or change some keywords. I can tell you as an example, a blog that I used to help with on a site, and I still have access to the Google Analytics. They did a blog post, and it had they were tying it into that whole Uncle Sam Wants You poster. And I'm sure I probably did it, but I can't remember which one of us did the tagging. And one of the tags was Uncle Sam Wants You. And when you go to their keyword search, that always keeps cropping up. In for people going out on Google typing in Uncle Sam Wants You, and that has nothing at all to do with their product. And as a result, when you look further into the analytics, you can actually see what the exit rate is. You know, 83% of people who land on that page from that search term leave the site because that's not what they came to that site for. You know, so now it's like, should we remove that tag? Yes, it's nice to have exposure to the product, but if people are getting there and that's not what they want and they're quickly leaving, maybe they feel like you tricked them to coming to the site and now they're going to put a grudge against your brand. So maybe we should remove that keyword. So if you see that list and maybe you don't see any keywords that you would want to be found for, you have to figure out how can I beef up the content on my site and get those, you know, amongst those top 10 keywords, get the words that I really want to be found for showing up in that top 10 list. You know, look at the homepage of your website. How can you incorporate some of those keywords there? You know, write a couple of blog posts, write a series of blog posts about them. Try to work on that from that angle. So that's important to know as well. All right. Yeah. All right. The next one I would like to talk about is now we're going to jump into the social section. So this is the one of the newest sections of Google Analytics that a lot of people don't even realize is there. And it's still under development. for the most part. So if you go, we're again still in the traffic sources section, jumping down now into the social subsection. Let's see, the first one I want you to look at here is just the overview. If you just click on the overview there, what this does is it takes those referrals that we looked at 2 or 3 points ago, where I was telling you guys that Pinterest was my top one, et cetera, and this just shows the social sites. So it pulls out everything else, and it just shows you which social sites are driving traffic to your website. And if you guys are looking at this, and you see any lines on your those social networks where it has like 3 circles connected by lines there, those are called, they're calling them, I think, the social hubs. And what Google is trying to do is form a relationship with the social networks, essentially so that it can pull in more information, and not just information in terms of as things are driving traffic to your website and then even the social actions that are taken on your website, like a Facebook share, people tweeting your content out, but also things that are happening out on those sites. So as you can imagine, Google Plus is hooked up to Google Analytics.
Mm-hmm.
So if you click on that line, if you have your little Data Hub 3 circles there, and you open that up, you can see a ton of information just on how your content is faring on Google Plus. I know how many people came there, page views, average visit duration, et cetera. So they're able to basically pull more information in when they've established this social data hub partner. And somewhere here along the top, there you're probably seeing, again, if you're playing along, a lot of text that's kind of giving you information because this section is so new. And somewhere along there, there's a there's a whole bunch of informational links that you can click on that will tell you who the social hub data partners are. Of course, you're not going to see Facebook because they're a competitor. You're not going to see Twitter on this list. But you see, like, Blogger and Delicious and Dig and Meetup is on here. Reddit is on here. So, if you're really interested into the nitty-gritty of how this works, you have to really read into all of these help sections, which I admittedly have not done. It's a lot, and it's not, you know, of all the ones I have on my screen when I'm looking at it, I'm looking at, 10 social networks right here, and out of them, 2 of them are hooked up to the data hub of those driving traffic to my site. All right, so going back over into the social section here, if you look down to landing pages, so again, we're in traffic sources,
right,
and then social, and then landing pages.
Yep.
You can come down here and you can see the pages that are people, the pages on your website that people are coming to only from social sites. All right, so this is not all traffic coming to your website. This is only when people originated on social sites. And unfortunately, you can't. It doesn't show you which sites they came from in this this particular view. You can just. It's just going to be kind of all of them lumped together for each of those pages. So what you want to do here is you want to determine what pages people are flocking to. So what is it about those pages that are making people from the social sites really want to click on them? Is it that it was a guest post that was written, you know, is your most popular landing page here from the social sites not even written by you? Was it written by a guest blogger? If so, you might want to track that guest blogger down and see if they can write some more content for you. Was it a video blog? You know, are your video blogs getting a lot more traffic to your website? If so, you'd want to do more video blogs. So pay attention to what
this is. You know, I have to laugh. You know, you say do more. Yes. Sorry.
I know. I just try to think of diverse types of content. I know. So, take a look at what that is. And then think about it, too, in terms of when you put those links out on the social sites, what other descriptions or call to actions, as I had mentioned before, could you put with these? So, you know, you're looking at your list here, and you look at your number one post, and you're thinking, holy cow, that post is getting way more visits than anything else. You know, what did I do? Was it the content itself, or was it how I promoted it, or was it a combination of the two? You know, for some reason, X number of people, you know, were just dying to come and click on this page. And then ultimately, you know, just craft more content around what people like to get them to come to your site. And do more of the same type of call to action on the sites that you chose to do with these sites in the first place, or these pages at the first place. All right, so the next one that you want to look at is conversion. So conversions is a little tricky because you have to have goals set up in your Google Analytics in order to track conversion. So this is a whole separate section of Google Analytics where you're actually going in through the admin panel and you go into profiles that you can set up for the websites that you're tracking, and you can establish goals. So a goal would be something like somebody made a purchase, or somebody submitted contact information to download a white paper, or somebody signed up for an email newsletter. Just the actions that you are hoping people take when they get to your site, what you want them to do once they're there. So you can actually define these in the goal section. You can even get down into more specifics where you want people to take a certain path when they get to your site in order to go to that goal. So if you have your site structured in such a way that you have a landing page, and then, you know, from that landing page, people should just be clicking on whatever that call to action button is that you have there on that landing page. You can set it up so you can see where people entered the path to get to the goal or where people fell off. And if maybe it's a multi-step process in order to get people to that goal or to that ultimate conversion, and people are dropping off before that, you can actually see once you go into what's called funnel visualization here in Google Analytics, and you can see where people are leaving and not completing that goal process. So you might take a look at those pages and say, what is it about those pages that are driving people away? Is it too confusing? Do they, you know, are they, you know, going, are they jumping out of the funnel? Are they going to an FAQ site because they're confused about what to do here? Are they lost? Did they not intend to go there and they're going to a sitemap now? You can actually see all of that. So once you have your goals established in that section, if you come in here to the social component, so again, people playing along, under traffic sources and then under social, you can go to conversion. So what this would actually show you is what social sites did those people come from such that it actually led to a goal completion, i.e. a conversion. So you might get a ton of traffic coming to your website from Facebook, which is great, but is it so great if people aren't actually doing what you want them to do when they get to your site? So you have to kind of strategically look at this and say, okay, you know, is it more important to get people to my site, or is it more important that the people that come to my site are, you know, kind of qualified leads or quality leads who are ultimately going to, you know, end up in a sale or end up, so if maybe you're getting, you know, 1,000 people to come to your site from Facebook, and none of them are completing a goal, but maybe you're getting, you know, 50 people to come to your site from LinkedIn, and every single one of them is going through the goal completion, maybe you're going to focus more time on LinkedIn because it has a higher conversion rate for you. So you have to look at things like that. All right. Let's see if I want to talk. All right, so we'll talk about the last one. My list that I took notes on, I kept notes for tonight, aren't you guys? you know, lucky I'm not winging it like I usually do all of my things. So the other interesting thing to look at is your internal site search.
Where is that?
Yeah, so hopefully you have an internal site search, because it could be somebody does a search on your website. I mean, a search in on the search engines, and they land on your website, and they're like, hey, this is really great content. I wonder if I can find X, Y, Z here, and they're going to go look for a site search. Or they just, you know, you go to bestbuy.com, and you're going to use their site search naturally if you're looking for something in particular. So have a site search. And if you're doing just kind of like a WordPress site or you're running just a blog, you know, that's just as easy as usually dragging something over into the sidebar widget. But definitely hook that up. So if you go to traffic sources and then under overview, poking the mind. So traffic sources.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Traffic sources. Okay. Traffic sources and then sources and then search.
Oh, there it is.
Okay. So you can go ahead and click on whichever one you want there. I think if we just do overview. All of them. So what this is going to, is this the internal search? This might be regular search. No, this is your internal site search. I'll make sure I wasn't leading you astray. So with this, again, this is telling you are those keywords that people are typing into your site search. So if you can see people are typing keywords into your site search because they're looking for content on your site and you don't have content about that, you better create content about that if it's relevant to what you do. Because that means people are coming and they're using your site as a resource for information, and they're hoping that you can be that resource for them. You know, but if people are coming to your site and typing in words that don't pertain to what you do, then, you know, you just don't have to worry about it because you don't want, you know, to be found for that anyway. So I like to look at them when I think it's just, you know, interesting to know what other information people would like to see once they get to my site. Okay.
And we have a listener that's in the chat who's pulling muscles for patting herself on the back for doing a good job. She's following along.
Oh, good.
She's following along, and her newsletters and websites are getting good traffic.
Very, very good. Yeah.
Yes.
And about being able to see my screen. But
yeah.
The other thing that you can take a look at here is when you go into the overview of the site search, you should get a little pie graph that will tell you how many visits come to your site without doing a site search and how many people actually run a site search. Which if you have sort of a content-driven website where you might want people to be doing a site search to look for more information, it could just be that your site search functionality is hard to find. You know, maybe you have it buried in a sidebar instead of at the top of your site. So if you might just need to kind of rearrange that on your site to make it easier for people to find it. All right, the last little bit that I want to talk here as it pertains to social and analytics is something that we talked about before, but I definitely need to reiterate it, and maybe since we've kind of been, let me show you the site that the section that it pertains to. We actually haven't gone there yet. So if you go in to starting our traffic sources, going to the overview, traffic sources, and then go to all traffic. Okay, so traffic sources, all traffic.
Mm-hmm.
In your left-hand column there, it'll set you the column header says source/medium. So that's basically telling you that, you know, somebody came from Pinterest and it was a referral. Somebody came from Google and it was an organic search versus a paid ad. Somebody came from Facebook and it was a referral. But if I look at mine, I can see things like somebody came from Facebook and it was an announcement post. Or if you use your secondary dimension dropdown right above that column, the one that I like to add, so I do secondary dimension and I'm looking for campaign. You just type campaign in there. It's under the traffic sources section under that secondary dimension drop down.
Mm-hmm.
unless you're using this Google URL builder, you're going to see not set because you haven't set anything up. So for one, I can see on here, again, looking at the Two Geeky Girls one, I have one that was on here that says Facebook, and for my Medium, it says that it was an announcement post, and the campaign was pro-compression because we did a giveaway. And I can see how many visits to the page we got when we did that Facebook post for pro-compression. So instead of that being lumped into my facebook.com/referral, now I can see more specifics about that. So the only way you can get that granular level of information out of Google Analytics is to use the URL builder when you are posting content from your site onto the social channels. So if you Google URL builder, it's a really strange looking URL. So it's not something short and sweet. But if you do just go to Google and type in Google URL builder, it should be the top result. What you would do is, let's say you wrote a blog post. So you would go to your blog post, or this could be anything. This could be you're running a promotion, or you want to share your products and services page with people, or you have some sort of email newsletter sign up on your site, whatever the case may be. It's just something that originates from your site. So you grab that URL from your address bar, and you go back to your URL builder, and you walk through the steps. So it says step one, enter the URL of your website. And again, that doesn't just have to be the base domain name. That can be the entire URL of whichever page on your site that you are looking at. So you paste that in there. And then we're just going to worry about the three required fields here, the campaign source, campaign medium, and campaign name. Of course, if you're doing something like Google AdWords, you might want to fill in campaign term to identify those paid keywords and so on. So for the source, you know, you could say it was Twitter. And for the campaign medium, you could say it was a tweet. Or maybe you were doing a paid Twitter promotion, so you could say it was a paid tweet. And then you want to do your campaign name. So if this was your, advertising a new product, and it was, I have a Sharpie marker in my hand, so we'll say it was the Sharpie marker. So we used to have our campaign source is Twitter, our campaign medium was a tweet, and our campaign name is Sharpie marker. When we hit submit, it's going to take our original URL and it's going to append those terms behind the URL. So when we copy this and we paste this into Twitter and it truncates it into the, you know, Twitter URL shorter, or you can even take this URL and you can put it into Bitly and make it smaller. Just as long as you have this big URL that we just created behind whatever you post. So you post it into Facebook, all people are going to see when you post it on Facebook is how a regular Facebook link shows up. When they click on it, they will see this big, long URL in their browser, but they don't care. They got to where they were meaning to click on anyway, hopefully. But what this allows us to do then is what I explained prior to this, is go to your Google Analytics, and now I would be able to see that, you know, not all of my Twitter referrals are lumped together. I will be able to see exactly how many people came to my website because they clicked on that tweet about the Sharpie marker. So it really helps you kind of break down exactly what content, not just that content coming from the social site, but exactly what content that you're posting on the social site is making people click on it and come back to your website. So you can also use this in all sorts of, I use this, like if I'm going to do, you know, I have a link to my website and my email signature. So, you know, you can do like a display name, so I can say just saying it's social, and then you hyperlink it, and then behind saying it's social, I've created a URL in here where it says sayingitsocial.com/, you know, AK's email signature, you know, and then it's my, you know, website promotion and my email signature, you know, so I know, and so in that, in looking at my Google Analytics, that would be one of those things where you see under referring traffic to your website where it says direct. and all direct means is somebody clicked on the link from your email signature, from an email newsletter, or they had your site bookmarked, and it was just something that wasn't trackable. So in this instance, instead of just lumping all of the clicks to my website from my email signature into that direct basket, I would be able to break it out then and see who's actually clicking on my site from my email signature because I put that tracking code behind it. So that is the URL book.
That is a lot of information to digest.
Yes. That seems to be one of those shows where you get to just enjoy the archive.
Yeah.
We can play it. Make it one of our most popular shows.
Yes. Stop it, play it, stop it, play it. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know what our chat room listeners are chatting about right now? Besides their dinner, what time it is.
Yes, I planned that perfectly, didn't I?
You did. So should I cue the music?
Let's do it.
Let's cue the music. And we're ready.
I'm a whole new person all of a sudden.
I totally forgot how long that song was. We haven't played it in a while.
Yeah. All right. We have some fun sites. So because I alluded to it or mentioned it at the beginning, we'll talk about the site that I found that ties in Instagram and events. I cannot take the credit for finding this one, actually. My brother's friend, who actually I've known even he was in high school with him, but he lives out with him in Denver now. So I saw him when I was out visiting my brother in Denver, and he does a whole bunch of marketing stuff, and he's been sending me emails back and forth, brainstorming on some things. He sent me this email last night, and he's like, "Yeah, my company's doing a trade show, and we're trying to figure out how to do like really live engagement, you know, at the trade show." And he's like, "You know, I know all about Instagram," and I'm like, "A who?" He said it like I should know about it, and then I kind of felt bad. I was like, how did I not know about this? So I just learned about this yesterday, and then of course, you know, I sent Deb an email, and I was like, have you heard about this? We should do this appraisal.
No.
Amazing. Anywho, the URL is eventstagram, but it's gr.am. So eventstagr.am. So eventstagr.am. it has a very, very neat explanation here through their video. As soon as you open up, I recommend watching. It's just a neat little video. But the premise is very simple. So you have an event. So it could be a conference. It could be a concert, it could be a wedding, anything where you have a big venue and a lot of people. And you register for an account, and there's, I think, four kind of levels here. You could do a free version, you could do kind of a silver, it depends on how many photos that you anticipate, how many hours of playtime that you want, et cetera. And then you display their website that you've been able to sort of brand with your event via a projector, up on a projector screen or on a TV at your event. And the slideshow actually will tell people what to tag their Instagram photos with, which hashtag to use. And then basically in real time, the photos will appear up on the screen, everybody that's posting them to Instagram using the hashtag. So again, it's really, I totally think we should try to figure out a way to do it at Framecamp. So people who are, you know, Instagramming people they're meeting, or, you know, presenters, and, you know, at the tweet up and all sorts of stuff, because it'll actually also pull in photos from, I think, up to a week before the event. Those will kind of stream in also during the event, so people can see that. But, yeah, again, I mean, any events that you're doing, I think with the free version, it can play for 6 hours, up to 500 photos. So, you know, it's a pretty good deal, I think. And then the next level is $50. And, you know, so it's not super expensive, but it seems really fun. So I can't wait to hopefully see that happening at Frank Camp or sometime.
Yeah, we're going to have to play around with that. I think it might be a little distracting, but I think it would be very cool.
Yeah, and I guess you have to really trust what people are going to take pictures of, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like my live tweeting at Frank Camp that I went to the first time, where I knew everybody was being able to see what I could tweet on the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to trust that everybody's going to keep their pictures on the up and up. It does say that there's a moderation feature where you can ban pictures, but I would assume that there's not a delay. So once you see one picture up, you'd have to, it would show, and then maybe you could just ban that person from continuing out. Anyhow, all right, so the next one, we actually have two apps that I wanted to share with you guys. The first one was just rolled out by Google. It's called One Today, so O-N-E, and then Today. Right now it's only available to Android, of course, because it was created by Google. Yay, something was for Android first. And the premise of this is it's Google's initiative to bring people together with nonprofits. So what they're saying is each day they're going to introduce you via your app a new charity, and then you have the option to click through your Google Wallet and pay $1 to that charity. And then you can challenge your friends that you will match their donations for the day. You can broadcast it out through your social channels. So if you just look up One Today by Google, do Google One Today by Google, you can read all about it if you go to google.com/onetoday. You can get all the information. And it actually says on there, request an invite. But when I clicked on request an invite, it took me right to the page to download it from the Google Play Store. So it kind of makes it sound like it's exclusive and you have to, like, get on a waiting list, but you don't. So you iPhone people will have to get on a waiting list. But
Yeah, we will.
So I think it's cool. I mean, you know, you never know. It's so brand new. You never know if people are really going to jump on board with the idea or not. But I think it's a good way that people might get introduced to some nonprofits that they didn't otherwise know about, and, you know, challenging their friends. We'll see.
Friendly competition. Yes, I like it.
Yeah. So the next one, apparently all of my apps these days are focused around either running or charity. So the next one, the reason I want to share it with everybody is because I want everybody to try to encourage the businesses that either they work for or that they know to use this app. It's called Check In for Good. And it is on the iOS platform as well as Android. And sorry, Dana, I don't know about BlackBerry. It's probably not there. But it's their premise is mobile cause marketing program. And the essentially, if I go to a store and they're participating in the program, if I check in, the store will donate $1 to whichever charity they have selected. And it can vary. It's not always $1. And if you share that you have checked in with your social network, the amount can increase. So right now, I hooked it up to my phone, and it seems like, and I have to applaud this company. The only company within like a 200-mile radius to me that's actually participating in this program is Sports Authority. And Sports Authority does some amazing stuff. They really try on social networks. They have, from the very beginning, they always have four square deals. They're really into this location-based marketing thing. So I can see here if I click on Sports Authority from the app, It tells me that Sports Authority is a proud supporter of USA Football's Player Safety Initiative. And if I click Share with Friends, it'll be $1.50 that they'll pay towards that charity. If I click No, I just want to raise a dollar, that means I'm not sharing it with my friends, I can still check in and they would donate a dollar. So I think, you know, and for something like Sports Authority, where it's pretty much a revolving door of customers coming in and out all day, that's pretty good. A good thing that they're doing. So if, I would think, you know, if you have, a smaller type store where maybe, you know, you only get, I don't know, with a lot, but, you know, 30 customers a day, and you can justify, you know, the social good marketing thing of donating $30 a day and getting people to share it with their network. But the cool thing about this site is when you go to check in, it's checkinforgood.com is the site for the app. If you click on the businesses section at the top, it walks you all through their mobile cause marketing program. They say it's possible ROI. So you can actually find out all about, you know, their overview video, you know, how it's helpful for your business, all of their suggestions for marketing it, all sorts of stuff. So I think it's really cool. So again, you know, I think if everybody could just let businesses know that they just exist, I think that would be a big start in, you know, getting more people involved with this.
Oh, yes. Okay. I like this.
All right. And then the last one that I have for you is actually, you guys may have seen this on TV. Bing, you may have noticed, Bing is doing this hardcore push to try to, like, convert people from Google to Bing. And they have this promotion going on right now, and it's called bingiton.com. So bingiton.com. And essentially what they do is they prompt you through 5 searches. And on each search, they do a split screen side-by-side of Google search results and Bing search results, but you're not supposed to know which one's Google or which one's Bing. And you look through the search results, and you decide, you know, which one you think served up more relevant results for what you were looking for, and then you click on it and you vote. So you go through each of the 5, and then it tells you which one you picked. And, of course, they're hoping that you're like, oh, you know, I was Google all the way, but then this, you know, told me I was Bing. So I did it, and I was Google. So out of 4 out of the 5 I chose were Google. Which is interesting because I thought I could tell sort of which one was Google and which one was Bing, and I was trying to do it very honestly, and I was like, it's going to tell me Bing, and I'm going to switch to Bing. And I was convinced that some of the ones that I had picked were Bing, but they were Google. So I posted it out on the 2 Geeky Girls, and I used the hashtag Bing it on. I thought, I don't know, it doesn't say anywhere on the site if that says, you know, if that's it or not. And then I noticed other people were using it, too, and I saw a lot of people who were saying, sorry, Bing, you know, Google won. So I'm wondering if it's just going to backfire on them.
Well, yeah, I have to play around with this. It's just like, will some people naturally go to the right side versus the left?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I really did try to play it fair, and I legitimately scrolled down through all of them, and I clicked on a whole bunch of the search results from both sides to see, you know, which one delivered better information to me based on what I was searching on. So, you know, it did take a lot of time. I didn't realize it was going to make me do 5 searches. I thought I was like, oh, it'll pick one and be like, oh, that's this. But, you know, I did think it was interesting. Because I was, you know, if it had told me Bing, I may have gone through the system 1 or 2 more times to really determine the winner. But if ultimately Bing had won out, I may have used Bing more often. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to play around with it.
Yep.
So I haven't done it before, obviously.
All right. Oh. Well, that's all we got.
Yep. And she's telling us it's to go. So, and I did searches really quick. And the Google one on mine.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And Dana didn't know. So it's Bing it on. Dana.
Oh, yeah. Bing it on.
Okay. Yep. All right. Well, I'll play the music and AK.
I guess we ended or we lost that. So if you guys can still hear me, thank you very much for listening tonight, and we'll talk to y'all next Wednesday.